Robert really felt the weight of his guilt and shame. He was a really nice bloke. He's a friend of mine. He worked hard. He cared for his friends. He loved his family. But there were a handful of things in his life, things he'd done as a child, things he had kept on doing as an adult, and he really felt the weight of guilt. And even though he was a Christian, he knew the gospel, he knew of the forgiveness that Jesus offered, but guilt and shame just hung around him all the time. He constantly wondered whether God would really forgive someone like him. Could God really give someone like him clean hands? And I don't think Robert is alone in feeling this way. Do you feel weighed down by sin and guilt? In the dark times, when darkness comes, do you keep going back to that time you really blew it? And the guilt and shame from maybe just that one thing or those many one things comes back and weighs you down again. Do you keep wondering, does God really forgive sin? Can sin really be removed and dealt with? Can I really enjoy God's presence? Would God even want me there? Well, Leviticus 16 points us to the answer being yes. Leviticus 16 is about the Day of Atonement. This is the central chapter in Leviticus. It is the most important day of the year in Israel, because this is the day the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, is thoroughly cleansed, and it's the day people's sin is completely removed. Now, this is a big day, not only because of the result of the day, it's not only significant because of the result is that sin is being removed, it's significant because this is the only day of the year that someone can go into God's presence. If you remember, that's the dilemma of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, it starts with a tent of meeting, but no one can go in. But we've seen that through sacrifices, God's people can sacrifice and eat in God's presence, but that's just in the courtyard. We've got a picture up on the screen there of the tabernacle, and there's a picture like that in our Bible study books. In the tabernacle, there are three sections, and I'm going to number them for us. Number one, there's the courtyard. And in this courtyard, that's where people could come with their offering. And they'd bring their bull or goat or birds or grain or whatever it was, and they would sacrifice it and offer it to God. And this is the part where people could enter and they could eat in God's presence. Inside the courtyard was a room where only priests could go. That's number two. And there's an altar in there for burning incense, and there's special bread and candles. And inside this tent, there is another internal room, and that's number three. So we've zoomed in now on this internal room. Number three is the most holy place. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is where God dwelt with his people. This is where the presence of God was. You couldn't just go in there. Only a certain person, only in a certain way, only on a certain day. And at the beginning of chapter 16, we're reminded how serious it is to remember these conditions. Because if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, if you try and come into God's presence the wrong way, you die. So have a read from verse 1. We're back in verse 1, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." So this is the dilemma, the big problem. God is holy, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's clean, but people aren't. We are sinful, dirty, corrupt. And you can't put the two together. It's like the hot plate. You get it out of the oven, you put it into a sink of cold water, and it doesn't survive. It's the same with sinful people in the presence of a holy God. But God in his grace has made a way. And from verse 3, we see what that way is. It needs a special person at a special time, wearing special clothes and offering special sacrifices. So this is verse 3. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take 2 male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, first up, we've got here a bit of a stock list of the animal, a bit of a stock take. There's a bull, a ram, 2 goats, and then another ram. And that's it. We're going to hear about these animals a couple of times, but it's only ever this list of animals, 1 bull, 2 rams, and 2 goats. Next we heard there about Aaron's clothing, and it's all plain linen. All the rest of the time, the high priest wears really fancy clothes, special clothes with gemstones attached and all sorts of colours, but not on this day. On this day, when the high priest, Aaron, that's his role at this time, when the high priest goes into God's presence, he wears simple clothes, the clothes of a servant. On every other day, when the high priest is representing God to the people, he wears special clothes to show his holiness. But on this day, when he represents the people to God, he wears the clothes of a servant because that's who he is before God. So Aaron gets dressed and he's almost ready, and the main process begins in verse 11. But before we get to the details, we've got to deal with these 2 goats. These 2 goats have 2 different roles. They're both to do with ensuring that God's people have their sin dealt with. But they do it in 2 different ways. And so before things start, Aaron rolls a couple of dice, or he draws some straws, and he does this to work out which goat to sacrifice and which one will be the scapegoat. Verse 6. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. We'll come back to that. Then he is to take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to be used for making atonement by sending it out into the desert as a scapegoat. Now, we're going to come back to these 2 goats in a little bit. So just kind of park the goats for a second. Right now, we've got to go back to that first bull. So the first thing the high priest must do is to sacrifice a bull. And he's to sacrifice this bull to pay for his own sin. The priest is a sinner. It's like everyone else, like you and me. He's a sinner. He needs to be forgiven. He needs to be right with God before he can go into God's presence. So verse 11, Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. And he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. Now we learn about these sin offerings right back in chapter 4. Now normally with a sin offering, the animal's blood is poured out beside the altar. That's where that red arrow is pointing. But today, it's different. Because today, that blood is going to clean the most holy place. Now remember, what's important about the most holy place? It's where the Ark of God is. God's throne, the presence of God on earth. This is where heaven and earth meet. And normally, no one can go in. Normally, it's separated by a curtain. But on this day, the high priest is going in. He's going beyond the curtain, but even with a bull sacrificed, his sin being dealt with through this bull, he can't go directly into God's presence. What he has to do is make a big cloud of smoke to shield him from God's presence. So verse 12, he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and 2 handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony so that he will not die. Can you imagine how Aaron feels doing this? He knows what happens if you just go into God's presence. He has lost 2 of his sons burnt up because they disobeyed God. They disobeyed in the way that they would approach God's presence. How must he feel? There's got to be a pretty good reason to go in somewhere dangerous like this. Well, the reason the high priest needs to go into the most holy place, through the curtain though, creating his own curtain of smoke as he gets in there, he needs to do this to take in the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat to make atonement for the most holy place. Now this is a two-step process. I put the slide up too early. We'll come back to atonement in a second. It's a two-step process. First of all, he sacrifices the bull, makes some smoke, and then sprinkles the blood of the bull. And then he goes back out, sacrifices a goat, and that's the goat that drew the short straw, and it sprinkles its blood. So there's a two-step process. So verse 14, so he is to take some of the bull's blood with his fingers, sprinkle it on front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. That's the Ark of the Covenant part. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and to consecrate it with the uncleanness, beg your pardon, of the Israelites. All right, so there's this word atonement that keeps coming up. What's it mean? We've seen this before. It means at-one-ment. The goal of these sacrifices, the reason blood is sprinkled, is to make it possible for a holy God and a holy people to be at one, to be at peace, to have a relationship. And why is blood needed? Well, it's because blood represents life. This is the life of an unblemished, perfect animal whose life, whose blood has been given in the place of sinful people. But why does the most holy place need to be atoned for? It's like getting your carpets cleaned. Every day in your house, all sorts of dirt gets dragged in. Someone's been out in the paddock. They don't take off their boots at the front door. There's food being eaten everywhere it shouldn't be eaten, and there are crumbs all over the place. And every day we do a little bit of cleaning, or every week or month or however it is in your household. I'm sure it's every hour some of you doing some cleaning. You get out your vacuum cleaner. You clean up, you sweep up bits and pieces. But that's not really good enough, is it? And so every so often you need to get that machine with the suds and the soap and give your carpets a proper clean. That's what the Day of Atonement does. Every day the dirtiness and pollution of sin is brought to the tent. And the dirt builds up, and once a year it needs a deep clean so that God will be happy to continue to dwell there. Not just happy, but able to continue to dwell there. And that's what's happened so far in this day. One bull and one goat have been sacrificed. Their blood has been used to purify the ark, the tent, and the altar. So that's really the first stage of this day. The next stage is with that second goat. Remember, at the start there were two goats and one was randomly chosen to be offered as a sacrifice. Well, that's already happened. The other one is still alive. Now, something quite different happens with this goat. Things start off the same as with other sacrifices. The high priest pushes his hand onto the head of the goat. And what's that mean? Well, at this point, remember, the high priest is representing God's people. And as he puts his hands on the goat, it means that this goat is being identified not just with him, but with all of God's people. Whatever happens to this goat represents God's people. And what he does, what the high priest does, representing God's people, is he confesses the sin of the whole nation. Now, it's probably not that everyone writes a bit of paper and sends it in so that he can list off absolutely every sin that's happened in Israel that year. He probably confesses things quite broadly. But what he does is he's pressing on the head of the animal and he's confessing sin. he's laying the sin of the people on this goat. And this goat, though, it's not killed. It's not sacrificed. What happens to this goat? It is taken way out into the wilderness. It's taken a long way from the camp of Israel so that it will never return. Verse 20. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. Now, all through Leviticus, we're used to the idea of blood sacrifice. Now, we may not be very comfortable with it, but at least we're familiar with it. We are used to death being involved. Now, why is this? Why do animals need to be killed, to be sacrificed? Well, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Our sin, your sin, my sin deserves death. And in a sacrifice, an animal dies in the place of a person. But this goat, it doesn't die. How does it deal with sin? Well, it deals with sin by showing that when God forgives, our sin is taken a long, long, long way away, never to return. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or sins from us." God removes our sin as far away as possible. When I was a kid, we used to sing a great song called No Fishing. It said that when Jesus forgives, it's like our sin is thrown into the deepest part of the ocean, and there's a great big sign over that part of the ocean that says, "No fishing." That's what this second goat means. When God forgives, it's never coming back. Now, this is amazing. All the stuff that's happened, we have the deep clean of the temple. Our sin has been, well, Israel's sin taken far away. It's never coming back. But the day is still not over. The high priest has still got a little bit more to do. But first, he's been outside the tent. He's taken that goat out, given it to that other bloke, and he's taken it into the wilderness. He's gone outside of the tent that is clean. He's now unclean again. So he has to wash and then get into his regular priestly clothes, and he finishes with two burnt offerings. Verse 23, "Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in a holy place and put on his regular garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people, to make atonement for himself and for the people. He shall also burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar." And that's what happens. And we're in the rest of the chapter, we're told that this is a most holy day. Although this is a day that really actually involves the high priest doing anything, no one else does anything except for that other bloke who has to lead the goat out into the wilderness. It's the day for the high priest to be very, very busy representing God's people, but it's actually a special day for all of God's people. Everyone in Israel has to rest and observe this day. So verse 29, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourself and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien or a stranger or a refugee, a migrant living among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest. You must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance." So this is the Day of Atonement. This day is the most important day in Israel's calendar. It is the most significant public holiday because it's the day a person, the high priest, is able to go right into God's presence. And he goes in to completely deal with sin. It starts off with that blood sacrifice, a sacrifice for sin. A bull and a goat who die in the place of sinners, and their lifeblood is taken into the most holy place. It's that deep clean of the most holy place so God can live with his people. And then we've got that living goat. It carries away the people's sin far, far away, never to return. And then finally, there are two whole burnt offerings, symbolising that the priest and the people wholly belong to God. Now, I've never been part of a Day of Atonement. I'm guessing none of you have too, particularly because this event hasn't occurred for more than 2,000 years, because there is no longer a most holy place, because there's no longer a temple or a tabernacle. And so, it's great to get these set of instructions, but you're never, ever, ever going to have to fill them, to do them. So how does this event have anything to do with us? Well, each week as we've been going through Leviticus, we've seen that the sacrifices and the uncleanness and all, it points us to Jesus. They are fulfilled in Jesus. Because like Israel, we have the same problem of sin. We are guilty and need forgiveness. Our sin separates us from God. Sin means that we can't be in God's presence and live. We can't know God. We can only face his judgment. And the truth is that by itself, this Day of Atonement cannot do what it promised. Firstly, because that most high place, although it's the throne of God, it's the place where heaven and earth meet, it actually isn't heaven. It's not God's true throne. And even though it was cleansed once a year, it was only therefore cleaning the copy. But this points to Jesus, because Jesus died and he rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, to the true most holy place. Hebrews 9 and 10 spent a lot of time thinking about how the Day of Atonement actually is really all about Jesus. We're just going to look at a few verses, starting at verse 23, so Hebrews 9, 23, but I've got it up on the screen, which says, "It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands. There was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." What Jesus has done in his death and resurrection life is much greater than the Day of Atonement, because he has taken the blood he shed into the true presence of God. And he took not the blood of an unblemished animal, but his own perfect, obedient human life as a sacrifice, a better sacrifice. And because it's a better sacrifice, he doesn't have to do this year after year after year, but once for all people, once for all time. So it continues, verse 25, "Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment." So Jesus has gone into the heavenly most holy place and he's taken this once for all sacrifice. But that's not all the ways that this Day of Atonement points us to Jesus. Remember how on the Day of Atonement the high priest was in and out and in and out of the most holy place, and each time he goes in he's got to offer another sacrifice, and each time he comes in from outside he's got to wash himself clean. The sacrifices continuing to show Israel their sin. Well, Jesus has also gone into the most holy place, and he's also going to come out again. He's also going to return. But he doesn't return to take a goat out into the wilderness because our sin still hasn't been dealt with. He comes back to bring salvation. Verse 28, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear," he's coming out of the holy place again, "a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." I think many of us are like my mate Robert. At times we are weighed down by feelings of guilt and shame. Memories. It's not just the current things we're doing. It's actually memories of foolish and sinful things we've done. They keep coming back and haunting us in our dark times. But if you are trusting in Jesus, if he is your high priest, if you have, if you like, put your hands on his head and confessed your sin, then his death brings forgiveness. He stands as your representative in God's presence, and your sin is taken away into the wilderness, never to return. We don't have to bear our sin because Jesus already has. Let's pray. That's such great news, isn't it? We're going to thank God for his forgiveness and ask him to help us to know complete forgiveness in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, please help us to rightly know our sin. Help us to know we need forgiveness and atonement, that on our own we cannot come into your presence. Thanks so much for Jesus, that Jesus is a greater sacrifice than the Day of Atonement, that he has entered the heavenly holy place, that he has offered his own better sacrifice, and that he will return to save. Please help us to trust in Jesus and to deeply know we are really forgiven in him. Help us to have confidence to enjoy you and to be confident in your presence, knowing that our sin has been completely removed in Jesus. Amen.